The show may be beef, wine, and shenanigans, but I am jacked up on coffee right now. So watch out, mofos. Here we come. I'm kidding. It's just one cup. It's literally just one cup of coffee. It means nothing. Beef, wine, and shenanigans, folks. Stephen Van Patten, as always, joined by Denise Tapscott, Mark Abbott, Maryland. Kirk Johnson. Holy, 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 holy. The SAG Awards literally just went off air. That's there you go.
Yes.
I believe that's a membership card.
This is a membership card, sir.
Ooh. Which means that a lot of these decisions are your fault.
Yes, they are. There's one big one that we'll talk about that was definitely my fault.
Yes,
sir. Because you know what I did.
I know what you did.
Mm-hmm.
And she said what she said. SAG Awards. Yep. Mark Abbott has been running a very interesting theory, not dissimilar to the one that I had about Charlie Cox appearing in a Spider-Man movie. That was one of those things I just dropped. I didn't expect it to actually happen. And the next thing I knew, people were blowing me up on Facebook. Ah, shit, that's me, that's how you said it. I think Mr. Abbott is on his way to that sort of thing. For those of you that are new to us or new to us running random nerd theories, Mark, correct me if I'm wrong here. You said your theory, anyway, is if Brendan Fraser wins, like sweeps through award season, and in particular gets an Oscar for his role in Whale,
mm-hmm.
Then the defunct Batgirl movie, which we're all pretty upset about not at least being able to get a glimpse of because Warner Brothers is on some bullshit. Your theory was that the movie will magically become unshelved,
mm-hmm.
Because Brendan Fraser will have brought things to a different level. Or a different hit, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So now that he's won the SAG Award.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I voted for him. I totally voted for him. It was a great movie. He did a great job. He really did.
But you screwed some other stuff up, Denise. So anyway.
Not all my votes counted. Some did.
I am so messing with you. Oh, queen of the flower and head. But Mark.
And the beads on the fence.
And the beads on the fence.
Mm-hmm.
And the beads on the fence as we just got out of Fat
Is
Tuesday.
It bump
just
on
I'm not even going to imagine what you were doing on Tuesday. We're gonna skip right over that because you know, children may be listening somewhere. Cosette may be listening anyway. Mark's like, no, I put that child to bed.
Right. And I think at this point, we already done killed the dog on that one.
Yeah, then there's that. Because that's probably going to school.
Curse.
These motherfuckers in the podcast in the night.
Right? Hold on. Nigga, why does it look like an F?
Oh.
Oh, my God. All right. Went off on a tangent. But yes, Mark, you had the theory. How are you feeling about the theory now that Mr. Fraser has gotten the SAG Award?
Yes. Well, given the fact that we got Keaton's glimpse of his 89 Batman in the Flash trailer during the Super Bowl, mm-hmm. and now this, yeah, I have a funny feeling somebody somewhere at Warner Brothers, like, we can capitalize on this momentum. It's about dollars, mm-hmm. you know, at the end of the day, I don't care what that guy who shelved it is claiming. It's about dollars. And if people are riding Brendan's wave, well,
mm-hmm.
I really do think they're going to do something about that. I really do think they're going to unbox that thing and put it out. If they don't release it in theaters, they're definitely going to put it on HBO Max, like they claim they weren't going to. You know, they may even do like a limited run of the film just to, you know, to just garner attention for it. Because at this point, you know, it's all about star power.
Right.
Yes.
You know, and for whatever belief they had that the film wasn't going to do well or whatever, this definitely shows the powers that be that there is still some interest in Brendan Fraser and Michael Keaton reprising his role. And if I could put if Disney, if you're listening to this, anybody at Disney, somebody did a mock poster for this, but given the events of tonight, you might want to consider doing the Tales of Short Round.
Because he won with Indiana Jones coming next summer.
Yeah. You might want to pick up the phone and call that man and let him reprise his role of the child has who had disappeared since the Temple of Doom. I would love to see him pick up the mantle and do a an honest to goodness, just like you guys did with the what is that one that they just did with the treasure, the one that Nicolas Cage did.
National Treasure.
The series was really good. So I mean, let's do it. Let's bring him back for Indiana Jones. His own stories. What happened to him after he left Indiana Jones? What happened? What kind of adventures did he go on? And they don't necessarily have to be archaeological. They could be something completely, you know, more fascinating. You know.
Maybe a supernatural. Yeah.
I just tossed supernatural that out there.
Maybe a rom com.
Hey. Everybody enjoy it.
No thanks. This was monsters or ghosts. I'm not a fan. Sorry. Well, stand rom com.
You can do that and throw my man a love scene here and there.
Well, I mean, yeah, that'd be great. Yeah. Just tell me how it goes.
Have John Woo direct it.
Okay, then I might watch.
If only for the pigeons.
Rom-com. Right. Yes, I love birds, so that would work.
Yes. Pigeons or doves or whatever it is he uses.
That dove has a gun.
Right.
I think we're on track. If it doesn't happen, you know, but I have a funny feeling this is just too... It's too sweet of a deal over at HBO not to do it. Just basically say, you know what, just put it out. And, you know, because we're riding this wave right now and capitalize on it. You know, it can't hurt his career if he wins the
Oscar.
No, absolutely.
So, you know.
Well, here's the thing. I am kind of banking on you being right about this because I like the idea of the four of us appearing to understand show business.
Right. Yeah, right. They have some
supposedly,
shit like,
yeah.
They're like the Adventures of Short Round starring Shia LaBeouf. We'll be sitting here like this. Man.
I'm not saying that, we won't be disappointed by show business over and over and over again. I'm just saying that if we can project the sense of understanding show business.
Right. Eternally hopeful and that, you know, maybe ultimately some good stuff will...
it's better for the podcast. Maybe we get like, you know, an endorsement from like, I don't know.
Michelle Yeoh.
I was thinking more Ford trucks or somebody that's actually going to cut us a check.
Like
Adidas.
And if it's Ford trucks and we have to run a commercial... That commercial will probably be voiced over by none other than
Well, in fact, you know, you got Ford trucks. In the Ford truck, you got Outlander, you got Running the Wild West. Ford is a real deal, made of steel. And that's the bottom line. You got to have that Ford truck. This is Sam Elliott telling you, buy Ford. Ford, built tough.
He won the SAG Award too.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, he did. He really did. That,
you mofos out there, is what's called a segue. So yes, Sam Elliott, he won.
Mm-hmm.
He did. Well, he did.
Since we have Mark Abbott, who also does a stellar impression of Sam Elliott, that's even more weight to the whole Beef, Wine, and Shenanigans understand show business
there's no
thing that like I'm going to be pushing hard into. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be leaning into that a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. More so. And pushing Mark to talk like Sam Elliott more and more until his own child does not recognize him.
Oh my gosh.
Walk around the house with a Stetson on.
Why is Daddy talking like that?
better than Bokeem Woodbine.
And his wife.
I would say better, just different.
Because Stephen's evil.
because Stephen is evil.
Oh yeah, no, she'll completely blame me for it. I mean, you know, and rightfully so.
Well, it is your idea. Yeah, it is my idea.
It's only my idea. I'm okay with all of this. All of them.
Totally all that smoke. All that smoke.
All the smoke. All the heat.
All that smoke. All that smoke. Please.
I smell it. It's so good. It's like Texas barbecue. So.
Ribeye.
Like a good, yes. Good ribeye. We know about good ribeye right there, Sam.
Yeah, we know about the good ribeye. And I'm going to be a steak man myself and put some beans on that and mashed potatoes. And, you know, you always got to have a good brisket. Brisket's always good in the wintertime.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, cold beer. You got to get a good cold beer in the back of your Ford truck, F-150. I'm telling you, it's built tough. Ford tough. You gotta enjoy life, people, because like the Ghost Rider, when the Ghost Rider enjoyed life, he did some things. Not saying that it's a good idea, but you know, we know the legend of the Ghost Rider, the legend of the Texas barbecue, and the legend of the Ford 150. Built Ford tough.
See, folks.
Oh my God.
I knew it would work. Anyway,
he said what he said.
He did.
Yeah, right.
He sure did. All right.
Wait till Ghost Rider comes out.
Oh. There's been a hypothetical casting list, which I know is complete bullshit, but you know, yeah. With Norman Reedus as Ghost Rider.
Right. Yeah.
Oh yeah, we talked about that. Yeah.
Yeah. And the more I think about it, the more I'm like, you know what?
I'm not against it.
I actually kind of want it.
Yeah, I could see him playing Ghost Rider.
Okay, and apparently they hinted that Blade would be in that movie.
That would be awesome.
That would make sense.
Yeah,
it does. It makes total sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hashtag Midnight Suns. Right. Hashtag mm-hmm. Night Stalkers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Hashtag yeah. The whole kit and caboodle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hashtag I mean, blood on the bike.
Technically, they should have introduced Blade in one of the Doctor Strange movies. That's just my thing. But it's coming. It's fine.
Yeah.
You know, a lot is probably going to happen between now and 2024.
Yeah.
A lot is happening now already.
Yes.
That's true.
And some of it bad. And
yeah.
With that note, in a much less smoother segue, I wanted to bring up.
Yeah, this fuck this you, Norfolk Southern. Fuck you.
Yeah. Wanted to bring up the derailment that happened in East Palestine, Ohio. Only because some people are calling this perhaps the largest ecological disaster in the history of this country. And I believe the chemical is some sort of vinyl.
Vinyl chloride.
Vinyl chloride.
Oh, wow.
And reports came in that like thousands of fish dead.
Livestock
starting to get sick. Livestock dead.
Yeah.
So I think the most disappointing part of all of this, of course, is the fact that this too has become a site for political theater.
Yes.
We have what some might categorize as a slow response. The incident happened February 3rd. The EPA was not actually on the ground until February 10th. Now that might be purely a safety thing.
For a lot of people.
For them, not for the people who live there.
Right. Some of who were evacuated, but then were encouraged to come back
by the governor
and you know, I hate to be looking at it from the standpoint of, you know, like the old school monster movies where everybody pretends everything's fine and meanwhile, you know, it's like, I hate to think I learned everything I really needed to know about the government from Kolchak the Night Stalker. You know what I mean?
That's
real bothersome shit. But at the same time, so again, we find this being politicized. East Palestine, oddly enough, despite the name, is apparently Trump voting territory. So, of course, what has happened on the back end of this is that you have your Marco Rubios and your Ted Cruz's, men who are historically late on providing anything that actually helps people. Ted Cruz in particular, with his abandoning Texas during an unprecedented snowstorm.
Right. He went to Cabo.
Yes, and got busted going to Mexico, right.
Yeah.
Now these folks get to actually feign moral high ground against Pete Buttigieg, a guy who I happen to like. I happen to have met him in passing backstage at The View and the whole
night. Oh, wow.
He seems like a really decent cat.
That's awesome. I'm glad to hear that.
You know, of course, you know, that's just me putting him, you know, getting a microphone, putting on him, and so he can go yak it up with Joy Behar. That's not like, you know, I don't really know him, you know. But
you saw that interaction. Yeah.
Yes. And like I said, very nice man. But his whole, the whole thing going on with him and the EPA and everything else like that, all of that's being represented as they came in late because, you know, this is Trump territory and this is just white people dying and all of that. And to be fair, I want to lay some of this at the feet of the media because it's only until recently where you actually heard what's really going on. And sometimes, I swear to God, sometimes I swear John Oliver forces, because of course he covers things that are in the news in his way. And I believe he did something on this last week. So it's like, you know, it's like, oh, well, now that happened, now, you know, CNN and everybody else have to kind of address it. You know, and remember, this happened February 3rd. The news should have led with this on February 3rd. And I'm pretty sure they didn't.
No, they didn't. They absolutely didn't.
So, right, exactly. So,
like, I heard that shit on TikTok.
Right.
I heard it from people on TikTok.
Ain't that a bitch?
Yeah.
So,
well, I heard it and it made me think about the old TV show I Survived, and there was a train accident in 2005, and they had this older couple who survived it, and it happened in South Carolina, and there's two trains that collided because of a faulty train switch, and chlorine chloride, it was the same kind of stuff that was released, and they talked about their horrible experience and what they went through and how firefighters and stuff couldn't get through to them. One of them, they had a son who was a firefighter and he was off duty. He's like, "I'll come and get you." And they said, "We will fire you on the spot if you go get them. It's too dangerous for you to go to get your parents." The husband
Oh,
called
shit.
a private company and they said, "You'd have to wire transfer us $10,000. We can come get you, regardless if you survive or not." I mean, it was really, really bad back in 2005. So when I heard about this train thing, I was like, "Oh, here we go again." And this one is way, way bigger. Way bigger. And you
Way
don't hear
bigger,
about it very
way
much.
worse.
Huge, yeah.
And just going back to Pete Buttigieg for a second, thank you for that, Denise. But going back to Buttigieg, so you know how sometimes somebody who's like really smart does something that's a little too smart? It's almost like you forgot who you're dealing with. So Buttigieg apparently, because Trump himself took it upon himself to go to Ohio and rile things up and offer people expired water
Trump.
from some other con he'd been working back years ago. He happened to be sitting on a bunch of bottles of water. Lord only knows what they, of course, obviously probably better than what
Should have sent it to
they
Flint,
got.
Michigan when they needed it.
But and then there's that. Thank you. But yeah, he's out there riling them up and doing all that. And Buttigieg, who normally, I mean, I've seen him have way better responses for this kind of stuff. And he basically just said, well, I mean, and he worded it cleverly, you know, but my thing is, I don't know if clever is what we need right now in this instance, because he literally said that, well, I hope the former president, and I'm not going verbatim here because I don't have it in front of me, but it's something to the effect of, I hope the former president does sort of support the ideas of, you know, reforming this, because the history, the political history that leads to this derailment apparently is railroads were getting a little stupid during the Obama administration. And then Obama put something on the books to, you know, put safety regulations in place. Well, naturally, when El Truche decides that, you know, becomes president and gets in office and is literally on some, I'm getting rid of everything the black guy did. I'm getting rid of everything. And that's what he does. He strikes
Everything.
down anything that Obama put in place that he could put in, that he could strike down. You know, I mean, Obama, I want to say, was very skillful in how he laid out the Affordable Health Care Act, in the sense that if you messed with it too much, it brought too many other things down.
Oof, thank goodness.
Yeah. Well, again, we got to remember, as cool of a cucumber as Obama is, he's also fucking brilliant. But he couldn't, obviously, he couldn't protect everything. So here we go with the whip and slash. And now, no regulations. And then when you, and see, this is the thing that conservatives don't like to admit to, is that, you know, they'll do stuff to make it easier or better for business. But then what happens is businesses take too much advantage. And then that's when you have situations where, you know, you don't have safety stuff in place. And it creates these situations. Now, Mark, I'm gonna toss it back to you for a second, because you brought up something interesting before we actually started recording, and I just want you to kind of recap that.
Well, Vice did a whole thing on the railroad itself, They were talking to the people who lived in the town who were basically like, I'm not going back in my house, because they went in there with these people and they're taking tests and they're like, oh, the air is fine. And a woman's like, well, what about the ground?
Yeah.
What happens? You know, she goes, I can smell. She said, you don't smell that in my house. I'm not going back in there because, you know, it made them sick.
Yeah.
And then you have the Republican governor telling everybody, go back in your house, go back in. And people are like, where? And which is interesting because you bring up the Trump thing. If you look at the people, because correct me if I'm wrong, was he in that town or was he two or three towns over?
I think he went in.
He I don't think he went into East Palestine, to nowhere near that where that mm-hmm. that thing is. No. But the people there wanted to meet with the governor and the mayor, the and of course the company, the railroad company, who conveniently at the 25th hour backed out of meeting at the town hall, to which some credit to Biden, who basically said, yeah, you're paying for all of this.
Yep.
Told the railroad company, it's like, we're not paying for a dime for this. You're going to pay for the cleanup. You're going to pay for this. You're going to pay that. And you're going to give us an itemization of what you did. Because basically what this company has done, they put a special regulation in for themselves. So that it's a safety regulation, but instead of, for example, it takes, one guy was explaining, 3 to 8 minutes to go from car to car to car to car to make sure everything is safe. It went from 3 to 8 minutes to 30 seconds per car. And you better not go over that 30 seconds, because this cuts cost for us. You know, we're not worried about the bottom line. As long as the train can get from here to there, you know, wherever we can cut a corner, that's what we're going to do. So we created, and I wish I could remember, I meant to write it down, what they called this particular regulation that they came, this quote unquote safety regulation that they came up with.
Yeah.
But they decided that this is how the company is going to run. And the more they saw that they could cut corners here and there to save a dollar or two to put back in their own pocket, because, you know, that also meant cutting shifts, cutting people out of particular positions. You know, why should we pay X amount of dollars for 4 engineers when 2 engineers can do this, and in the same time 4 can, and we don't really need to pay them overtime because of contracts or whatever, which now makes me kind of want to go back and look at this whole argument that they were having, the rail companies were having with their unions. But this goes back to, again, the ideology of, we are just worrying about the bottom line. The financial bottom line is what's important. This derailment now, and honestly, I'm not surprised by the response. Because this is typical. This is Democrat or Republican. Every time one of these things happen with the railway, it takes 2 or 3 days for somebody to walk down there to figure out what's going on.
This is not
a new thing. You know, we had, remember the train that ran off the tracks up here in New York, the Metro North. It took them like 2 or 3 days to get over there to figure out what was going on with that. I was like, the train flipped over on its side. How long does it take for you guys to get down there to take a look at this? The EPA, which I don't know what their situation is, but
deregulated, defunded.
Right.
So you don't have enough people to go and go in there and see exactly what's going on. I mean, this is a disaster that is going to take decades. This is not going to be months, because they tried to put the fire out themselves. The railway company, they poured something else over this thing that made it even more toxic. So we're not even just talking about just the water alone. We're talking about, like, this stuff gets in the ground, it will get into wells, it will get into the air, it will get depending on how old your house is, it may collect this material on your house. You go outside to have a barbecue, start up something, and then all of that stuff starts coming off the side of the house. And
Margaret, why are the termites so big? Oh my God, I think it's eating Fluffy.
It goes back to, I mean, in my head, how much money do you need to make?
Right.
How much money? Like at this point, in my opinion, kill the railroad in terms of transporting stuff by ground anymore.
Nope.
Yeah.
We can't do that.
No. I'm talking about not Amtrak. I'm talking about, we don't need these freight liners doing this no more. If you guys can't figure this out, that this stuff is dangerous, because this stuff, I don't know what would be worse, flying it,
can't fly it,
or run it by trucks.
Yeah, I mean, there's
Or
if it's creating, in trucks, then it possibly overturns in that situation,
which has happened before.
Right,
but I mean,
not possible.
But
yeah, I mean, they truck a lot of stuff now.
Huh?
What are the chemicals used for?
I don't know without that shit. The problem is that almost everything that you use in your house at some point, some of these chemicals are used into making certain things
The problem is that they all got mixed and matched. That's what caused the, it's not the one chemical itself, it's because it's mixed other things.
But then, like they said, they added more cars onto the train than needed to be.
Right. Had way more. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I forget what the nickname of the train was.
So my thing is that for Pete, you're the head of transportation. I mean, where are these departments? Like, if that were me transporting stuff in my car, going through the tunnel.
Right.
The we all know between New Jersey, New York, and the Port Authority, I would have been under the jail by now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm at a point now where I am so tired of the excuses. You have laws, you have things on the books, and nobody, then why are they there? Mm-hmm. Why, you know, because even then, when you get the Trumps and the Rubios and the Cruises, who did not go into that town.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
No, they're not going there. They're going to run their mouth from the safety of wherever they are.
Mm-hmm.
But even your arguments don't even make sense after a while, because none of you are following the rules.
Right.
What are you getting mad at when you deregulated something that was supposed to prevent? I mean, you can't prevent the train did whatever it did. Sometimes the accidents happen. You don't have physical control over that sometimes,
right?
But you have control over the fact that basically, like, yo, my man, your company did this, the books say this, we're stripping you of your license, we're stripping you of everything, and we're shutting your company down, just like they did with the mines, with these coal mines.
Oh yeah.
And shut them down, because at this point we can't keep doing this. And I feel so sorry for those poor people, because I don't care if they're conservative or Democrat. Nobody should lose. Like, you worked hard to build your home. Mm-hmm. You have roots in this place.
Mm-hmm.
Now what do you do? Like, you can't even go to work. Before I get off my soapbox, the haunting thing that I remember as a New Yorker, 9/11, when the first plane hit and the second building was evacuated, and they told everybody, "Oh, it's okay, going back up to work," and all the people went right back up into the second tower, and within minutes they were gone.
Wow!
This entire thing of just go, like me, I'd have been like, "Governor, I agree. You come with me. Come on to my house."
Right.
Why don't you come with me and we'll go back to my house? No. Take that mask off. You don't need that. You don't believe in masks.
We'll have salad for my backyard.
Anyway, come on. Mm-hmm. Let's go.
I'd like to invite you to lunch at my house.
There we go.
We just caught this fish over here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the chicken that died in my pan right back here.
Right.
You're going to have a good old lunch together.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, well, turn out with some bear sauce. This dead chicken actually ain't bad.
Bear. Mm-hmm. bear sauce.
Yeah. Is that a cocaine bear over there? Yeah, it is.
Yeah, right.
Don't feed the bears.
A vinyl chloride bear.
A vinyl chloride. Yeah. Look, like he on fire. That's a smoking bear right there.
it's just a damn shame. Yeah. And much like 9/11,
mm-hmm.
here's the thing about that I remember coming out of all that heinous stuff, you know, in the midst of Rudy Giuliani being declared America's mayor and all that BS, then shortly after, all these first responders start coming in with cancer diagnoses.
Mm-hmm.
And what did that asshole have to say to that? I ain't cutting the check.
Yeah.
No.
And y'all
are you serious?
Look that shit up.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all can look that shit up. He damn sure.
John Stewart's the one who championed for first responders and for others, for the victims.
Yes.
People who weren't even first responders.
Right. That's so true.
To get reparations for that shit.
Yeah. He's still doing that.
And mm-hmm. that I remember that first speech because he could barely get through it because he was getting ready to start crying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you remember the smell?
Yes,
that's a smell I will never forget as long as I live.
Matter of fact,
like,
I do.
Where were you guys on September 11th?
That. Where was I?
Yeah.
55 Water Street, which was 10 blocks away.
Not far away.
I actually saw the second plane. I saw the second one pass.
Past
the building I was in, went right past us and right into the World Trade Center.
Oh my gosh.
And when I tell anyone who's asked me about that, the scariest part of that was that when it hit the building, it didn't mm-hmm. blow up. It looked like it crumpled up into the building before it exploded. So it didn't even look real. It almost looked like something out of a movie. Mm-hmm. But for weeks, like I remember going to 14th Street because the movie theaters mm-hmm. a few weeks later were letting people come in for free.
Opened
up the movie theater. So I was going to see, what was it? What did I go see? I went to see Rush Hour 2 because I was like, I wasn't going to pay to see it. So I went to 14th Street, but you could smell, like even up there, you could smell the whatever it was that some people say was burning bodies. Some people believe it was asbestos, but you could smell all of that.
And
I know those people in that town if you're saying I got close to my house, my throat starts stinging, my eyes are watering, my skin is itching. There's no way you're telling me, oh, it's safe to go back in.
Right. Yeah.
Well, the air quality is good.
Yeah.
You know, but who sent those people in there? That wasn't the government who sent those people in there. That was the company. That's basically sending these folks in. It's like, oh, we're going to pay for this. So we'll send our people in
mm-hmm.
to tell you that it's okay. And
they do that in hazmat suits. Telling you, that's fine. While they're still in their fucking hazmat suits.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
On that I Survived show, those people said that like the walls were melting. They had to hide in their bathroom in the bathtub. They didn't mm-hmm. think they were going to make it, but they survived, thank God. But mm-hmm. and that railway company paid millions upon millions upon millions,
mm-hmm.
and that was a smaller one back in 2005.
I mean, they can't hide it. That's the point.
Yeah,
it's not like the Flint, Michigan situation where we could just tiptoe around that, or the Jackson, Mississippi situation where people funneled funds from other places to much needier neighborhoods and then can just go, I just, they put something in front of me and I signed it. I didn't even realize that's what was happening. There's a huge fire in the middle, like over here. Yeah. You can't really say, well, that ain't us, really?
Right.
Well, who is it then?
Right. You know? In the middle of, yeah. In
the big old cloud of smoke. Yeah.
Yeah.
Denise, where were you at 9/11?
Yeah.
I was in Dallas, Texas, training for Southwest Airlines.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow. And when the first plane hit the building, we would listen to the radio before class started, and we're like, ooh, something's not right. So we went into the airport area to the restaurants to watch the TV, and we see like the second plane hit the building, and it was so bad. The cool, not that it was cool, but the first thing they told us was, stop what you're doing and call your loved ones and let them know that you are okay. Because no one knew what was going to happen. And here I am trying to get a job at an airline, and now these planes are crashing into buildings. Yeah.
I don't mean to laugh at that, but that's what you call
it. This is some ironic as fuck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And then they taught us how to hand search bags and stuff. They didn't teach us the regular things you're supposed to learn. Right. And so as soon as planes started flying, they got us back to where we needed to be, back home.
Right. Yeah. So you were there for the initial security ramp up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I remember when the National Guard was there with their rifle. Yeah. It was a whole experience. Yeah. Ooh,
man. Mm-hmm. Jesus.
Yeah. That the aftermath of that always never made any sense to me, because it was sort of like, you know, now we've got military and we're guarding the airports and stuff like that. I'm like, yeah, but these guys aren't like, it ain't like 1977 where people used to skyjack airlines every other week, you know, and you know, Lufthansa.
Yeah, we didn't increase security for that
and,
shit.
In the 70s, in the 70s, every other week, somebody had skyjacked a plane or hijacked it to go somewhere. And it was always something. But I just thought, I was like, but what kills me is that everything, and I can understand why people got into the whole conspiracy thing, because everything the government knew about these individuals, y'all literally, it's, you know what it's like? It's like when something happens to you and you go to the police and the police say, well, we can't do anything unless they hurt you. Oof. You know that whole saying, hey, there's a man, my ex-boyfriend is harassing me. Well, has he breached that? Well, until he breaches the house, there's really nothing we can do. And it's really like we have to wait for them to do a terrorist attack before we actually decide we're going to do something about the terrorist attack. And it's and normally it's not like somebody else was waiting in the wings to do it. I mean, the guys who tried to blow up the World Trade Center the first time with the truck in 93.
Yep.
Basically told the FBI, we're going to try again. It's like, you know, and it just.
Yeah, it was just lucky that they were so stupid that they left a trail, you know, so that they got caught at least. I think one of them tried to get a refund off the rental car. It was something along those lines.
Yeah.
It was literally something to that effect. And that's how that motherfucker got caught.
Wow. But look at Kirk's face.
but isn't that always like the Son of Sam? He illegally parked his car. That's how he got caught.
Yeah.
What's his name? Frank was the from American Gangster.
Frank Lucas,
because you wore a mink coat to a boxing match at the Garden.
That's when motherfuckers started checking for you. Right.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
That's Christ. Yeah, I remember that scene like vividly too. And as they were leading up to it, I was like, my man, first of all, don't sit up front with the rest of the gangsters, because forget the fur coat, you the only black person in there.
Right.
You're the only black person in them seats outside of James Brown and everybody else that they can identify as not having to do with fucking blue magic.
Right.
It's like, wait a minute, who's that dude? Yeah, so right. to Mark's point, like, yeah. Exactly. Wow. I don't know. But it's going to be really scary when those folks start coming down with different respiratory ailments and whatever the fuck else is about to happen. That's going to be real, real bad.
Yeah.
And we'll see what the next administration does.
Right.
Because if it ain't going to be Biden, whoever's going to be in the seat the next time is going to be like.
That stresses me out.
Are you going to help these people out, or are you going to just act like Well, you know, this happened, happened so long ago. Right. This is old shit.
So long ago. Way back in.
Yeah.
You bring up old shit. This is a new administration. We're doing things differently.
No, it's real, real bad.
All I, gotta say, North Fork Southern. That's that's the name of the company. North Fork Southern.
That's right.
No, the train goes. Yeah.
And a lawyer. And a lawyer needs to throw in a hazmat suit, get out there, and get this class action shit happening.
Oh yeah,
that's
pronto, that's,
and they'll win.
The only thing, no win, but it's like, you know, Silkwood. I feel like, and all this other shit, where it's like, you know, these people, sure, they'll get some money, they'll get some restitution, but they'll still be all fucked up.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
You know, these people still gonna die. You know,
this is shit that
lifelong. This is lifelong health. This is,
exactly.
Right.
Exactly. Just put a, you know, the over trusting folks that walk back to their house.
Yeah. Okay. So I just Googled the story I was talking about, and it was also Norfolk Southern. So they were responsible for the one with, yes, I'm looking at it right now.
Oh, wow.
So this is definitely not their first rodeo. Oh, my stars.
Wow.
Wow.
I don't even know what to say now. Ugh.
Bam.
Yeah.
Survivalist? I think I'm going to become a survivalist.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be a doomsday prepper now. This is bullshit. I'm going to just start buying.
I'm not mad.
I feel like barrels of water. I feel like you're already a little bit of a doomsday prepper there, Kurt. But
You know what? I give off that kind of energy. I give off that
you
vibe,
sure do.
But,
yeah,
yes, but I'm do. Not. But I'm really not.
You're not. My pantry is full, and I always have at least 12 bottles of wine.
Really,
I'm just saying.
Well,
the pandemic, I'm stocked up. Yo. I'm going to have food when stuff goes down. And no wine.
You be like the last of us that come to your house, and you there like a,
that's
like,
my house.
Like you have a cellar with full of wine, and then you have the attic full of wine, and then everywhere in between is still more wine.
Still like, more wine. Just
right. They were like, do you eat?
I have two freezers full of food. I have a pantry full of soup.
Denise said that with so much matter of fact. She was like, because I'm prepared. I got my wine.
And I like, do.
What?
Yeah. And then when shit really goes down, here come the three of us fighting our way to freaking California. Just like in Last of Us. Oh, ooh. My God.
Oh, party my God. Party at
Ground Zero. Party at Ground Zero.
Hope you like Merlot.
Yeah, right. I love Merlot.
We can learn to like it. Tell you that much.
I got Cabernet. I got Merlot. Right. I got you. I need to stock up on tequila, though.
Yo, why that nigga head look like a giant callus?
Wow.
Oh, my stars.
Yeah, and then that's the other thing. We'll have to get there without having to cut through Ohio, obviously. Because Lord only knows.
Mm-hmm.
The road. You know, I keep thinking of the road.
Mm.
That's horrifying.
That is. That's totally horrifying.
Yeah.
That's totally horrifying.
Oof.
Man. Shit. Actually, I wonder if there's a petition or like some kind of fund being raised for the people out in Ohio.
I'm sure there is.
You know I mean, we should probably find out and post that. Cause you know they need it.
Oh, yeah.
They need help. I mean, fuck the. I don't believe in God, so I ain't gonna do no prayers. I'll just give you some. But I got a job and I got a cash. I got cash, so I can just give some money out, man.
Mm.
That's how I feel. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
God ain't gonna do shit for you. I got your cash though.
Yeah. He's like, I got your cash though.
Yeah, I got Venmo.
I got Venmo.
I ain't got no God, but I got Venmo.
Before we go, because we are running out of time, let's talk about something a little hopeful, at least as far as a good TV show goes. Picard. We've got
Picard.
Third season, episode 2.
Yeah, man.
And it was a banger. It was a complete, like, oh, shit.
Yeah. This
is why I have been watching these shows since I... was wearing Busta Browns. You know what I'm saying? It's like this is the shit right here. This is it.
Yeah.
And once again, you know, Jean-Luc Picard, Patrick Stewart, National Treasure. He delivers a great performance, and there's just a lot of like twists and turns. I don't know how many spoilers I want to give away, but there's big fucking spoiler.
Yeah.
And I'm not gonna say anything, but I was yelling at the TV.
Can I just say, does it have anything to do with the color of my beard? Yeah. Is it related to the color of my beard?
You can say that.
I would
potentially.
This is an exciting ride for sure.
He took that to another level. Mm-hmm. I sat there, was like, let me rewind that, because I got to see that again. I got to make sure I saw what I saw.
You saw what you saw. Okay.
And it cost what it cost.
That's
so,
right.
To see it. So I was like.
Worth every penny.
It definitely looks like I'm going to have to take a couple of days to watch this up then.
If you're not up on that, then you got to get up on it. If you call yourself any kind of a science fiction TV show fan, like they're doing some good shit right now. So.
Yeah, I like that. If you didn't even see season two, you could still start season three.
Oh, that's true.
Separate.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Season two is kind of like its own little capsule. There, you're absolutely right.
I do have to say this though.
Mm.
Yeah. You know you in trouble. You know you in trouble when the bounty hunters start laughing when you try to run.
Mm. Yeah,
the bounty hunters are sitting there like, all right, let's go get these fools. I'm like,
mm-hmm.
Well, maybe you're trying to take a page out of Kirk's old Mutari Nebula stunt. Don't sound like she's even concerned with that one.
If they reference that in the next episode, I can assure you that I'm going to have to rewind the next 10 minutes because I will have passed the fuck out. I'm not even kidding. If they reference that, oh my God. Mm-hmm. Oh my good God. That's going to be like, that's too much.
Mm-hmm.
That's too much even for me.
Well, you remember last season, they had old boy from, what was it, from Star Trek? The Voyage Home on the bus playing his metal music and 7 of 9 said something to him and he was like, click, I like that song. Because remember the last time he played it, Spock. So now he's a grown man.
And he
was like, when she was like, I said, turn it off. He's like, I just really like that song. I was like, you can see the memory came back. He was like,
I totally forgot that.
That's good shit, Mark.
All
right, well, we're pretty much out of time, unfortunately, but I want to thank you guys, because I know sometimes when we get into political stuff, it can be a little bit of a downer, but I feel like, you know, it's also kind of core to who we are, in the sense that, you know, hey, the original mission of this podcast, for those of you that are into Beef, Wine, and Shenanigans history, we were just going to do horror sci-fi, talk about Clive Barker and whoever else, and then y'all elected this asshole, and I mean Trump. And I want to say it had an emotional effect on the three of us, because Denise hadn't joined in yet. And we had to start dealing with that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's just like, for those of us that don't, and I'm just going to try to see if I can wrap this up. But so Bryan Cranston just had an interview.
Oh, I saw that.
Yes. Yeah. With Chris Wallace.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing because he basically very succinctly broke down why Make America Great Again can be construed as racist.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I suggest everybody Google it. Everybody watch it. Everybody get your allyship together, because that hit hammer right to nail.
Wow.
And that is, it kind of capsulizes everything that we've all been trying to say, is that you guys are taking us down a terrible slope. And by you guys, I mean, you know, conservatives and racists and all these other uptight people that, you know, want to scream at brown people that are working at Walmart and all the other shit that you, all the other heinous shit you see on Instagram.
Yeah.
You know, and I said I was going to try to close the show on a happy note, and I'm not doing so great. So.
No, you're doing fine. No, you're doing fine.
Yeah, thanks.
Thanks.
But anyway, I will say this, you know, as we continue on with this particular podcast, I just want to say, first of all, I'm very proud and happy to have three of you in my life.
Super and, glad to be here.
And, you know, I think maybe someday somebody's going to listen to us and get their shit together.
Well, if they don't listen to us, they'll listen to good old Sam Elliott. And go out and get happy, get yourself a barbecue, get in your Ford F-150 and or your Tundra or whatever it is that you like to drive. And sit back with a cold one and watch The Ghost Rider, because I was in The Ghost Rider, and it's a good movie, so you should check it out. So.
And that is how we end on a happy note, ladies and gentlemen. I would like to thank Denise Tapscott, Kirk Johnson, Mark Abbott, and Sam Elliott. We will see you next week. We mean it. We promise. I mean, unless Norfolk gets at us. All right.
Oof.
Later.